Blog Talk Radio.
I got Mike Shotown. Introduce yourselves. Say what's up.
What's going on, y'all?
We're looking forward to a good show today.
Oh, yeah.
It what's going on, everybody? Because there you go, by me. What's going on, everybody? You know, it's Shotown, Mike. You know, me and Tex was going at it, you know, Tex, you know, to talk. So, you know, I'm already amped up now, even more.
Okay. Now, you know, it has been an eventful first week, and like I said, the objective of our show is that we give raw, unedited, unscripted analysis on major college and professional football. Now, it has been a very interesting first week of college football, and a lot of surprises, a lot of disappointments, and what we want to talk about is the biggest thing that everybody's talking about right now. They're talking about Michigan versus Alabama. They were just so amazed on how Alabama just annihilated Michigan. I mean, from the start. And what do you think that says about Michigan as a football program, the fact that they were just demolished by Alabama from start to finish? What does that say about Michigan? And a further question on top of that is, what does that say about the Big Ten? Let me start with Mike. What you think?
I wasn't that amazed because I saw this coming. I mean, it's coming to the point where it's almost like a joke playing a Big Ten school now, especially if you're a top program. You know, I mean, they can't. You know, it's just ridiculous. I mean, I look at this game. I mean, I figured if there was any chance for a team like Alabama to be beaten by a team, you know, from the Big Ten, it'll be now because, you know, they just lost their best running back, you know, their top defensive players, and they're not, you know, they're not particularly strong, you know, on offense. But, I mean, I know Michigan, you know, they didn't have their, you know, their top running back, but there was no excuse for this. I mean, I thought the game was going to be – I thought Alabama was going to win, but I didn't think it was going to be like this. You know, I thought it was going to be – a lot closer, but, you know, like I said, the Big Ten, I don't know, something's got to happen because it started to become a joke. I mean, about three years ago, you know, USC goes to Ohio State with a starting freshman quarterback in Matt Barkley, and they kicked the crap out of Ohio State. I'm sitting there like, you know, and I'm an USC fan, but I did not expect them to win that game. That was our first game coming off of sanctions, you know, first season coming off of sanctions, and, you know, it was just, like I say, you look at the bowl games, you know, I mean, it's just starting to become ridiculous. It's like, okay, what, you know, what's going to change? I mean, I don't know if it's overrated. I mean, but, you know, it's mind-boggling.
Okay. Tex.
I'm just like Mike. I mean, we saw it coming. You look at the Alabama-Michigan game, no Trent Richardson, no Courtney Upshaw, no 6 or 7, 8 other starters from the defense. Young running backs with little to no experience, and it's just the same story. These SEC guys, they go play these Big Ten teams, and they control the line of scrimmage. Front seven controlled Michigan's offensive line. Alabama's offensive line just absolutely controlled Michigan's defensive line. Got to the second level on the linebackers, It's just you have the Big Ten athletes who are big, and you have the SEC athletes that are fast. These guys are big and fast up front, and there's just speed on all different kind of levels. So it's no surprise that Alabama went ahead and did Michigan the way they did. And Michigan is supposed to be the Big Ten's best team. So that's you know, like Mike said, you got a problem. You know, you have to ask what's going on.
Okay, Shottown, tell me what's up. What do you think about the situation?
Well, Jamal text, I saw the little thing on Facebook, you know what I'm saying? He said the Big Ten sucks, so really, you know, words of that game, I mean, I heard that game on the radio, and it's like, wow, like, you know, flipping from the radio to the baseball game, listening to my White Sox, like, man, I was just picturing that Alabama was just tearing Michigan up, man, and Denard Robertson got knocked out of the game and for a little while and came back, and he was hurt. I'm like, man, it was Alabama. I mean, I'm with Callie Mike. I thought the game was going to be, you know, closer, you know, a little something, you know, competitive, but I didn't think Alabama was going to beat Michigan like that. And honestly, I don't think, you know, Michigan is the best team to represent the Big Ten. I still say Wisconsin team, I think, might, you know, is better than Michigan.
Let me ask you this. Does Alabama, do they blow out any team in the Big Ten right now like they did Michigan?
I say absolutely.
Yeah. I have them a Big Ten guy, but I say, yeah, but Wisconsin could give them a challenge, but, you know what I'm saying, everybody else, I think – Alabama.
Which,
blah,
no, blah. I give Alabama a chance. Well, I want to make my opinion on this. Hold up, first of all. First of all, Mike, from Shottown, that's ludicrous. That's ridiculous. You said Wisconsin can give Alabama without Russell Wilson at quarterback? Okay.
They got that quarterback from Maryland, though, man. Don't speak on that quarterback from Maryland they got on the transfer, man.
Okay.
I mean, he was a Davey O'Brien finalist. I mean, 2 years ago with Friesian, but then thing that happened with him, you know, Maryland, I don't understand, you know, fire Ralph Friesian, so they had to change the whole, you know, style and systems, and the guy, you know, they brought in, Axel, just didn't mesh with O'Brien, so, hey, obviously the guy, you know, he's left. He ended up transferring.
I didn't see Wisconsin play, so I got to see them play, but my thing is, and I'm gonna get to the call in a second. I see some callers here. I'm going to get to them in a second. Let me just say my piece first. My thing is, I think this game just showed how more dominant Alabama is than a lot of teams in this country, and I think Michigan. I don't think they're overrated. I think they're a good team. They were just outmanned. It was just a bad matchup for Shoelace. I mean, Shoelace against that defense was just not going to work. He's not an accurate passer. Even though he's not an accurate passer, he's a game breaker. He just makes plays. And he's like a Michael Vick, kind of a mini Michael Vick, but maybe not as fast. Maybe as fast, I don't know. But in terms of throwing the ball, being accurate, things of that nature, he doesn't fit the mold. At least he didn't last year. So I just thought it was just the perfect matchup for Alabama, and Alabama dominated him from the beginning. And I just think,
can I jump
you know,
in real quick,
okay, jump right in.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I think one of the main problems with Michigan also is they tried to change who Shoelace is. You know, they try to make him a traditional quarterback when he's not a traditional quarterback. The Shoelace of this year isn't the same of the Shoelace of 2 years ago. That Shoelace of 2 years ago was a beast. You know, like I said, even with all Cam Newton did, I watched Michigan's games. It really took a lot for me to say that he was that much better than Shoelace, you know, when he won the Heisman that year. You know, you got to figure Shoelace was a sophomore, and he was dominant, man. You know, but since they got a new coach, they got Rich Rod out of there. They tried to change into more of a traditional offense, you know, and Shoelace, he's just not fit for it. Now, one other thing I noticed is too, the first couple of offensive sets. Alabama went through Michigan. They didn't do that bad. You know, like I said, they had a lot of penetration. There was a couple of guys on Michigan's defensive line that surprised me and got through Bama's line a couple of times. But I think, you know, when you have talent like Alabama, after a while it just starts to wear you down, especially when your defense is on the field that much.
I was going to say, also, I had to start about that too. Man, Michigan still kind of going through some transitioning, like Mike was saying, Rich Rodriguez, you know, too, this is Hope's second year, you know, as the head coach, and really he wasn't that top choice either, so they were going through a lot. And they still got, you know, Rich Rodriguez recruits there, you know. Hope doesn't have the type of players, you know, it's going to take him maybe another 2 years probably to get maybe his players on what he wants. So he's coaching, you know, Rich Rodriguez recruits.
I mean, how could you say they're going through a program transition when they went 10-2 last year?
I mean, I think they might kind of made it overachieve somewhat last year.
Okay, all right, hold up, real quick. I'm going to stick on this topic, but we got a caller. We got a caller in. I'm trying to call her in from 813.
What's up, fellas?
Hey. What's going on?
What's up? Hey. Fellas. It's this simple.
Yeah.
Michigan sucks. The Big Ten sucks. When has the Big Ten produced anything worth even discussing in the last 10 years? Every time Ohio State gets to the national championship, they get blasted by the SEC. Michigan sucks so bad, 4 years ago, they lost to a Division II team. In their first team, what's going on is the SEC is so dominant that when they do the rankings, they have to represent other schools in the rankings. They can't just make the top 10 be all SEC, so they throw in a Big East, they throw in a Big Ten, they throw in all of these other things just to represent. And that number five ranking they gave Michigan is ridiculous. They didn't deserve it. They didn't earn it. And where they are now is where they should be, sitting at home because they shouldn't have even been playing against Alabama.
I disagree with the caller said. I don't agree totally. You know, like I said, me and Tex right now, we have an analysis going on to the SEC, and we're gonna release the results after in a couple of more weeks. But like I said, I'll tell you my preliminary right now, the way I look at the SEC. It's a very top-heavy conference, but when you get to the middle and especially the end, it's not good.
I agree. You have
three or four teams that power that whole conference, but then you hear SEC dominance when in truth it's Alabama, LSU, and I'll throw in UF, but I have reservations about that Baylor game. I'm just saying.
You
usually
Auburn won the national championship 2 years ago.
Auburn was a one-year wonder with Cam Newton. Auburn without Cam Newton is not a national championship team. Do we agree on that?
No, 5 years ago they went undefeated and didn't win the national championship.
That is true.
They didn't deserve to go there.
They went undefeated.
They would have beat USC. I know that.
Well, I know that they played USC the previous season and got blown out 23-0.
Three great teams in the SEC. That's crazy.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, Mike, you forgot about Georgia, too. Hey, Mike, you forgot about Georgia.
I know Georgia bust some heads in the other conferences.
Did you just hear what I said, how they played USC the previous season and got blown out 23-0?
We talking about the year they undefeated. Yeah, USC made a statement on that.
Hey, excuse me, everybody here. The thing is, I want to respond to what Mike said from Cali. I agree with you to a degree. I think what it is you have the three-headed monster. I wouldn't put Florida up there right now. I'd put Arkansas up there right now.
Arkansas, I got reservations on Arkansas, man.
I put Arkansas up there right now,
Mike.
In terms of the three-headed monster. But... yeah, like you said, there's a lot of middle teams in the fray that are just as comparable as the teams of the Big Ten and the Pac-10. I'll give you that. I agree with you there.
But SEC middle teams are better than the other conferences' top teams.
That's all I've been saying, Clausell. I haven't been saying –
Everybody tries to misconstrue what
I'm saying is saying that the SEC isn't good or anything like that. All I'm saying is you got three schools. Like I said, that's like me saying the Pac-10 is good when I'm really only looking at Oregon and USC. Anybody can see – you know what I mean? When I know that there are Arizonas and other schools that are gonna be garbage, you know, you gotta look at the whole conference. That's like, you know,
the
University of Florida
is going through transition right now. Brand new coach, brand new players, brand new quarterback. But I'm telling you right now, let USC come to the swamp. They better hope they get out alive. They might win the game, but ain't no blowouts happening in the swamp. You can best believe
that. Are you talking about University of Florida that almost lost to Baylor?
Yes, that University of Florida.
Because that University of Florida was still trying to figure out who their quarterback is. Now that they figured out they're going to go with one quarterback, he's going to get all the reps all day, every day in practice. And when he start getting all the reps and start learning the team and they start bonding, you can best believe the Gators will rise.
Let me stop.
You were just saying last week Jacoby Brissett should be the quarterback at University of Florida, correct? That was Jeff Driscoll. You changed it to him.
I didn't make an opinion on who should be the quarterback. That wasn't me.
Hey, Tony, I got another call in. I'm gonna have to put you on hold. Okay. 850.
All right, you hear me there?
Firestorm.
First off, just following up this last caller, I think that this person has selective memory when it comes to the University of Michigan. Talking about they lost to a D1AA team in Appalachian State that won two or three straight national titles in 1AA. Now, I hope you didn't forget that at the end of that season, the University of Michigan went over to Orlando and played a certain University of Florida team and beat them.
Cool.
You know what I'm saying? I like how, you know, he wants to bring that up, but he wants to forget that the University of Florida lost to that same Michigan team at the end of the year with, their Heisman Trophy winner Tim Tebow and all those guys on defense and everything, and they scored and scored again and scored one more time. So,
ouch.
I like how they do that whole selective memory thing. Now, on to that Michigan-Alabama game. Michigan, on offense, pretty much started really bad in that they didn't make your boy your coach Saban guess. If you're going to run the ball and your best guy that's running the ball is the quarterback, you would think that they would do an option or a zone read or a zone draw, things like that, but they didn't do that. They kept running it up the middle right to the Alabama strength, which is their defensive line. We said the key to the game was going to be the line of scrimmage, and Alabama won the line of scrimmage without question. And since they did that, they were able to pretty much demolish Michigan in that first half.
Okay, well, it's fine, so basically we're saying that Michigan didn't adjust. That's basically what we're saying, is that they just didn't adjust to what Alabama was doing. That's why they weren't having success. They weren't having success because Alabama lines up guys that are going to play on Sunday afternoons, and Michigan does not do that, period.
No, Dex, come on now.
I'm talking about Bama versus Michigan.
Hold on a minute. Now, Alabama puts out players in the NFL, so does Michigan. Now, we're talking about history now. Michigan has put in players in the NFL that are still in the NFL today, and I'm not talking about Tom Brady. I'm talking about people like Mario Manningham. I'm talking about people like Braylon Edwards. They've had, like,
They've had one season.
They've had a bunch of receivers come out of the University of Michigan. They have linebackers that are in, that came
Jake
from
Long,
the University
they got
of Michigan.
Linebackers.
Lamar Woodley.
Yeah.
Lamar Woodley.
So, They put out this year pro players. Now, I'm not saying that the current team now didn't make adjustments. They did in the second half, and that pretty much was pretty much too late by then. See what I'm saying? So my thing is, when you play a team, now we knew that Alabama had inexperience in the back seven, but you're going to run the ball down the middle against their defensive line? No, you don't play to their strength. If you play to their strength, you expect to get demolished. You see what I'm saying?
Well, is it more that, or is it the talent combined with the scheme, though, because you realize Alabama and the Patriots run the same scheme, right?
It's a mixture of both.
This is an NFL style defense that Alabama is playing. Going to shut most teams down on Saturdays. Period.
Right.
Definitely going to shut Michigan down.
In comparison, do you say that University of Michigan has a pro style offense?
Would I say they have a pro style offense? They have some spread concepts, but they don't have the athletes to match up with Alabama and what they have.
Regardless of if they've lost the whole defense to the draft. Playbook. I'm not talking about players. I'm talking about playbook. Because remember, Michigan didn't have no Denard Robinson type quarterback before. Most of their guys were pretty much like pro style players. They played like in the I formation. They played a little bit of shotgun with four receivers, but those guys were drop back passes. They didn't have option guys like they do here with Denard Robinson. So that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I think that was the issue. My personal opinion, I think that was the issue. I like Denard Robinson, but I don't think he's the type of quarterback to play against Alabama.
Right. Now, in turn, the whole thing with Michigan, as far as like last year, was it a fluke or not? Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. But at least last year, I knew that they were going to win at least 8 games last year because their schedule was very favorable.
Yeah, I'm looking at the schedule right now. You got Western Michigan, Eastern Michigan, San Diego State.
Question for everybody. Is Michigan the best team in the Big Ten?
No.
This season?
Yes.
Yeah.
I picked them to win the Big Ten.
Yeah, I'll say that. I picked them to win. I haven't seen enough from the teams that they was the best yet, but I picked them to win it. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm still reserved. I'm reserved on a couple of teams, but one of the teams I'll say is Wisconsin.
Well, I mean, what okay. couple of teams? There's only 3 teams. Well, I say you can maybe take Kate for Ohio State.
Michigan State been making some noise the past few years.
All right.
I think they're completely overrated. I think we're going to see that this weekend.
Oh, you think Michigan State's overrated?
Hey,
I think
the pound we all were saying last week about, Boise State, coming out beating them. You see they beat, it was a close game, but they beat Boise State 17-13.
Yeah, okay. All right. No, hold up. Make sure, if you want to call in, 347-237-5539, CMC Firestorm. So we want to build on the subject here about Michigan in terms of just the Big Ten in general. What do you think that says about the Big Ten, and how can they compete against the SEC? What do you think they need to do to compete against the SEC? I'm going to start with you, Tex.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, you just have to, you have to get better athletes, and not just the SEC, but, the ACC has athletes. The Pac-10 with Oregon and USC. These Big Ten schools aren't beating the best of the Pac-10 or what the SEC has to offer. So what does that say? They just don't have the athletes. The coaching isn't bad. They don't have the speed on the lines in the trenches. They don't have the speed and athleticism at the skill positions. They just don't have the playmakers. As simple as that.
So you're saying the Big Ten is the worst conference out of the ACC, the Pac-10, and the
Is it politically incorrect to say yeah?
All right, because I kind of disagree with that.
I'm not saying the Big Ten is the worst. I'm not necessarily ranking conferences right now. You understand what I'm saying? But I'm saying when it comes to a Florida State who might not be the best team, we know what kind of athleticism and speed we're going to see on the field. We know what we're going to see in USC. We know what we're going to get with Oregon. We know what we're going to get with several SEC squads. We're not going to get the same thing out of the Big Ten that would give them an advantage versus these other schools. We're just not going to see it. And we've seen that over and over again with – the exception of Wisconsin, who, you know, they've done pretty well. Wisconsin has done pretty well.
Yeah, they've been in some bowl games. They've been competitive, you know, quite some time. I was going to say, too.
You're going to have O linemen and running backs, which, you know, it's hard to beat a good college team when you got, you know, three or four professional offensive linemen on your line.
But I was going to say, too, the Big Ten, I mean, had some success in some bowl games, though, and they had some success with the teams they went up against.
Well, also,
over
the past several
years.
Well, I look at it like, I think a lot of it has to do with Texas and about the athletes. But also, I look at it like sometimes they have to change the schemes that they're running. I look at Ohio State a couple of years ago. You know, they played University of Florida, and, you know, in the national championship, Ohio State had Troy Smith. He won the Heisman. Troy Smith had a good season that year, but he wasn't playing really how he should have been playing. You know what I mean? They try to take athletes and they try to put them in more traditional type of sets. You know, I mean, that Ohio State team had speed on it. They had, you know, they had San Antonio Holmes and Ted Jennett, you know, at wide receiver. That's speed to kill. You know, Beanie Wells at running back. You know, I mean, they were a good team. You know, they had a lot of offensive line, but, you know, they weren't running the right sets. SEC ball, you're going to have people coming at you off the line, so you can't really have your quarterback, you know, unless you have a offensive line, have your quarterback standing there, you know, tall in the pocket. You know, you gotta make adjustments. You know, it just doesn't seem like they make those type of adjustments to play a faster team, especially SEC teams. I mean, it's almost a conclusion when you see them play an SEC team of what's going to happen. To where it's not even, you know, no matter who the Big Ten team, it's not even close.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, my personal opinion on this is I think that game just showed – I think the quarterback play was not a good fit, and also to show that just showed how dominant Alabama is. I think the Big Ten is a pretty good conference, but I just think that – well, pretty good in the sense of you have Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State is kind of back now, and I don't know about Wisconsin. I ain't seen them play yet. So
I say I think Ohio State is going through, of course, transitioning with Urban Meyer, and of course, with their, you know, problems, or, you know, of course, they're going to be
on. But they look pretty good.
The point is they look pretty good. I forgot, too, Nebraska. And so, and, you know, Nebraska's been competitive under Bo Pelini.
Oh, yeah, obviously in Nebraska, too. I didn't think about them, too.
I forgot about Nebraska.
So, my thing is, I just think that just showed how Alabama was just dominant. That's just my opinion. I want to go to the next topic here before we get into a caller. What team – all right, this is where we're going to get a good conversation. What team impressed you the most this last Saturday? I'm going to start with you, Callie. Like, when you saw the games, which team kind of just stuck out and be like, man, that team is pretty good?
It was a couple of teams that stuck out to me. And like I say, I don't want to sound like a homer here, but I got to look at USC. I mean, honestly, if you have to watch USC games to know what I saw at the beginning of this game that I haven't seen in previous seasons, like since, you know, like I said, since really 2005 and 2004. I don't want to tout too much on it because I know, like I said, we're going to get a flood of calls in about different schools and this and that, but, you know,
Hawaii, right? Okay.
Yeah, they play University of Hawaii. University of Hawaii has solid football teams too, but
okay.
Yeah, they were in a BCS bowl a couple of years ago. But yeah, you know, like I said, I saw something different from this team that I haven't seen in a while. I'll say that, like I said, Oregon really surprised me too. The play of this quarterback, I have to see if it was as much Oregon as it was Arkansas State, but. Arkansas State has Gus Malzahn on there. He's an excellent coach. I don't know why he's not coaching D1 right now. But, you know, they put up a lot of points. But Oregon's offense looked really fluid. You know, Deontay Thomas, he looked electric. I have to see if he can take a workload for the whole season, though, without getting injured. I don't know. He's a really little guy. He's littler than I thought. But, like I say, I was really surprised by those two teams out of the Pac-10.
Are we talking about good surprises or bad surprises too?
Yeah, good surprises. Good surprise. Yeah, good surprise. We're gonna get to the bad surprises next topic.
Okay. Well, like I said, also I really liked Alabama's game. It kind of showed me that they are definitely D-class for the SEC, which I thought they would be. But like I said, this game kind of showed me a little bit more about them. Like I said, it's hard to tell a whole season out of the first game, of course, but I mean, you could tell certain things. And like I said, certain things I saw at Alabama, it let me know that, well, at least in my opinion, that they're a lot better than LSU. And I think when they play each other, we're going to see that.
Okay. Tex, tell me what you think.
Well, I was impressed with the top four teams, but I was more impressed by certain performances instead of just a complete ball club. I like how I was impressed with the way Oregon was able to run the ball. I don't know if they'll be able to pass as well. I think that could end up being a downfall for them. But I was impressed with how they did. I was impressed with USC's resolve. They, you know, athletes everywhere on defense, on control the line of scrimmage. You got two running backs. You got two NFL wide receivers. You got 11 guys going to the league. No surprise what they were able to do. I think you guys said Alabama was better than LSU. I'm not gonna say too much about that. I'm not so sure about that. I don't see the difference between Bama beating a major Big Ten school in Michigan 41-14 and LSU coming and beating you at UNT by the same score. So obviously both teams were dominant. I mean, I don't know. Of course Bama lost everything that they had, and they had to replace a lot of guys, and they go and they whip Michigan, which, again, we agree we're not surprised by that. Yeah, okay, so, you know, we'll see what happens when Bama and LSU plays. But one thing to watch is that I saw was South Carolina's front seven, really impressed with the speed and physicality of their front seven. Just something to watch with them, you know, along with that and Lattimore running the ball. Hopefully the quarterback is all right and come back to play. If he's not playing, then apparently they'll be hurt. They won't be as good as they were. But South Carolina's front seven impressed me. And, I mean, if they're controlling the line of scrimmage like that against whoever they play with their speed and their quickness and running the ball with Lattimore, I think you kind of have to watch them.
Okay, you think they can beat Arkansas when Arkansas come up there?
I think I probably take Arkansas simply because I like their quarterback. I think he's the second, third best quarterback in the nation. Arkansas can pass the rock. I think I don't know if South Carolina can actually beat Arkansas, but you know South Carolina's. You know, I'm telling you, their front seven is something to watch, guys.
Hey, Tech, you still think the quarterback success will be the same as good with Bobby Petrino no longer being the head coach at Arkansas? I still got questions on Arkansas.
I don't question Tyler Wilson though. That's my point.
Yeah.
You still think he's gonna be the same, you know, the level of playing he played under Petrino with John L. Smith being the head coach?
Tyler Wilson played well last year. He's gonna play well again this year. Everything will be all right. He'll get drafted high in the NFL. I don't have any questions about Tyler Wilson right now.
Okay. Shottown, tell me what you think. What do you think, which team impressed you the most?
Well, Clyde, Bama Roll Tide, man. I mean, they definitely showing they ain't no hangover how they handle Michigan. So, I mean, the talk between them and LSU, I mean, right now I probably would have to say if those two teams meet, let's say, in 2 weeks or so, yeah, Alabama definitely will have the edge and probably be the favorites to win because, you know, you all's quarterback, McCarron, I mean, he, like we've been saying again, been the quarterback play. I mean, your quarterback, you know, he's taking it to that level, and he's playing pretty well. So, you know, he's definitely going to be, you know, in the hunt
again, probably the top of the SEC right now. And, you know, Mike was talking about USC, you know, how they handle business. So, of course, and they show, you know, their thing of why they, you know, stand up being, a, you know, ranked number one. And then, you know, just it's been some good games, you know. I guess only thing now hearing, which I was saying last week when we was breaking down between Michigan State and Boise State, well, I guess we're not going to have a Cinderella team, which, you know, talk of hearing it all the time since Boise State lost last week. So, but like I said, with them, I think that, you know, Boise State garners everybody's respect anyway. You know, I felt wish they would end up in the Pac-12. And that's pretty much, you know, it's still more football to be seen, you know, for me, you know, this make decisions. I still think got some more football to watch.
Well, I think that clearly Alabama, man, I mean, they look really good, man. I mean, just dominating a lot of scrimmage, like, just like Tech said. And the running back they had, T.J. Yeldon, which I was telling you about last week and 2 weeks ago, Reggie Bush Jr., you know, he just really impressed me, and they barely even played him. He had over 100 yards anyway. He was averaging 10 yards a carry. You know, he can. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to be a Heisman candidate. He's probably not, because Nick Saban has a four running back system. But I just was disappointed how Nick Saban didn't let him be the feature back, because he's clearly the best running back that they have. And you know, I just guess he was trying to appease to all the rest of the running backs they have. But he's clearly the back in the backfield. When you barely play him and he still gets over 100 yards and he's getting like 10 yards a carry, I mean, I would think you could keep him in the game, but maybe they didn't want to embarrass Michigan that much. But Clay, so Alabama was clearly my number one team. I really was impressed with Oregon. I really like their quarterback play. And I'm really beginning to think now that they can beat USC in California, because if you have a pinpoint accurate quarterback like that, I mean, he was completing like 12. I think he completed like 12 straight passes or something. I mean, this guy, he's just a freshman, a redshirt freshman. So, I mean, that looks really good from an offensive standpoint. Excuse me?
Against who?
Against Arkansas. I know Arkansas State. I got you there. But, I mean, even on 7, I understand what you're saying, Arkansas State. But even 7-on-7, to be that accurate, like when there's no people even guarding them, just to be that accurate with the ball, I mean, that was just very impressive to me. And then,
well, let me ask you, did you watch the whole game or did you watch the highlights?
I watched the whole game. I watched the first half at least, yeah.
It was like I say, a lot of that offense is dependent on DeAnthony Thomas. If he stays healthy, they could be something special. But if he's not healthy, you know, I was talking with Tex about this earlier. I think it was yesterday we were talking. If he's not healthy, you're going to see this offense not only sputter, I think they're going to stop. They're replacing LaMichael James, who is one of the top running backs in college football history, really, to me. And I think you're going to see a big clutter.
Huh? You said one of the best running backs in history. I was like, are you serious? But that's okay. All right.
Well, yeah, he was going to break the yardage record for you to play the senior season. He's averaged over 1,600 yards a season and 20 plus touchdowns a season.
He also was a Heisman finalist as well.
But I was just really impressed. I'm about to get to the caller too in a second. I was just really impressed with just that his accuracy, man. I mean, I understand. I like DeAnthony Thomas. He's the Black Mamba. But I just really think when their offense is playing like that, I mean, it's very hard. I think, and I think they are capable of going into USC and beating them. And then the third team I really liked, how efficient E.J. Manuel was against Murray State. I like the way their defense played, giving up only 3 points. I really like that.
Clyde, you finally get Manuel his bag. Yay!
Yeah, he was very efficient with the ball. I really like that. But the only catch with them is just that running game. I really think they need to get a solid running game. Once they get that, then, you know, they're going to be very good. But hold on real quick. Let me get to this caller right here. 850 Firestorm.
All right. I'm in. I guess we could go with the last topic that you had here. Which team surprised me? I'm probably, like, go with a little bit of surprise here. I'll go with the two teams that won their games in Atlanta this past week, Tennessee and Clemson. I think with Tennessee, they had Tennessee as one of the sleepers in the SEC, and I think they have probably one of the top two quarterbacks in that conference with Tyler Bray. And they were able to, you know, step up in certain times to pretty much instill themselves against NC State. And the other team was Clemson. Like I thought last week, that I thought Auburn was going to pull that off, especially with the suspension of Sammy Watkins. But other teams, I mean, other players, like in the receiving quarter they had, and their quarterback was able to make key plays, especially with that touchdown pass near the end of the game. And they were able to hold off Auburn at the end. So I like those two teams right there.
Okay. All right, I'm going to put you on hold.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to get a call from 813. Hold up. Can you hear me, 813, CMT Firestone?
Yes, yes, finally. I can't believe you let old boy just go off on my Florida Gators about the Michigan, and you didn't even let me rebut it. But anyway, we're going to get back to what your question was first. The two teams I saw this week that did above average for me was USC. They came out and scored a touchdown on the very first play from scrimmage. The very first. Down said, high touchdown. It was crazy. And then Tennessee was in the second one. They were down to NC State. And out of the blue, them boys started throwing that ball up and down that field, and them boys came all the way back and won that game. So that's the two games this week I saw that I truly enjoyed and I thought were great games. Now, if you will allow me to go back to what old boy had to say about Michigan, it's this simple. You can make all excuses you want about losing to Appalachia State, but that's like Vanderbilt saying, oh, yeah, we lost to that high school team, but they were the national champion high school team. They were still high school. Now, also, your argument about beating Florida, I was talking about beating Florida in the swamp. You talking about beating Florida in Orlando. That ain't the swamp. And finally, the discussion was about the SEC and the Big Ten. It wasn't about Michigan and Florida. And who is the best team in the who's the best team in the Big Ten? I say Wisconsin. And as far as is the Big Ten a lower conference of all of the top conferences, the Big Ten is the pre-ten. They don't ever get it done.
I mean, Big Ten College, you can call in and rebut what he has to say.
If they got too much history there, they're going to get it going. But they, like I said, right now, yeah.
All right, thank you. So we'll put you on hold. I'm going to let you talk again. I'm going to put you on hold, though.
Yep.
Now I agree with what Tony and James said. I mean, Tennessee, I mean, that was my surprise. That was the next question. The surprise team was Tennessee. I really like Tyler Bray. I think hopefully he doesn't go to the NFL draft after this year. Something tells me he will.
He better not.
I have a feeling he will. But
Bray's pretty good, buddy.
But, you know, he looked really good this year. He looked really good yesterday. I mean, he's always been good, you know, but he really came out yesterday on the national scene. Now, what team?
I say this. If Bray, if he comes out, you think he's a first round pick?
Maybe. Yeah, it depends how well he does this year.
And two,
he's gonna
draft
in the top two rounds. He's gonna get drafted in the top two rounds.
If he does come out, you think he could be a top five pick?
I don't know. It just depends on how well he plays. He has to beat Alabama. He has to beat LSU. I don't know if they play LSU. He has to beat South Carolina. You know, he has to win those big games. I mean, so it all depends on how well he plays, how accurate he is with the ball. But I mean, accurate or not, he's going to be a top. He's going to be a first or second round pick because he looks the part. So
I say this though, since he's an underclassman, if you're not going to be the top five pick in the first round.
Well, I look at him like this. Both the callers were head on. Tennessee, like I said, they really showed me something. I didn't think they were going to be like that, especially after losing Derek Rogers. But Tyler Bray was going right at David Emerson, and Emerson had nothing for him. And he's supposed to be the best, you know, cornerback in the country. And
he went right at him.
Possibly.
Hold on, we got another caller here. 407. 407. 407.
I just chimed in. I don't have no comment. I just chimed in. I just got home from work.
Sure. All right.
Welcome to our show, the CMT Firestorm.
So, I mean, my thing is, I want to get back to this Alabama. The thing is, I predicted Arkansas to get to the national championship only because Alabama, I think, right now is the number one team. That's the next question. Well, no, hold on. That's not the next one. We're going to get that to a second. What we want to talk about is, first of all, before we ask what's the number one team, we want to talk about what team you thought was overrated. When you saw them the first week, you were like, they're not as good as we thought they were. Hex, tell me, what team do you think that was?
Probably Michigan State. I mean, they did all right. I mean, it was, you know, they're playing in East Lansing. You know, they don't have a bad defense. Boise State lost a whole bunch of guys to the NFL. Boise State had every chance to win that game, even while not being able to score an offensive touchdown. They still had ample opportunities to win the game. And, I mean, it was a thing where, you know, it's like Boise's like, okay, we don't want to win, so – Michigan, you go ahead and have it. Michigan, like, nah, it's okay. But you go ahead and win, boys. And boys is like, hey, you know, it's okay. You got it. And Michigan just handed on back to Boise. You know what I'm saying? And, I mean, they were just going back and forth to see who was going to lose that game. I had Boise State winning. Like I said, they should have won even as bad as they played. Michigan State was a lot of people's favorite to win the Big Ten. Wasn't really impressed by them. Was definitely impressed by the defensive end and the running back. But other than that, Michigan was mostly unimpressive.
All right, Callie, what you think?
With regards to Tony, I don't mean to make him too mad here, but I got to say University of Florida. And that's just because I expected a lot from them this year. Not a lot. But, you know, like I said, I knew the offense was going to be shaky because they were shaky at quarterback, and they didn't know who was going to be the quarterback. But the juniors and seniors they have on the defense are part of what people are calling the greatest recruiting class of all time for defense. I mean, they have literally the top player at every position, and these guys are starting now, and they could barely contain Bowling Green offense, which to me, you know, it really stood out. Like I said, I expect the offense, you know, to have hiccups, but you know, to me, it was the defense that really, you know, it didn't. I just didn't see it, or I didn't see what I expected to see, and you know, that really surprised me. Like I figured, you guys wouldn't be down for that long, you know, to where they're, you know, not reaching their potential, but you know, I don't know if these guys are going to do it or not.
Well, for me,
they was down. They was down against Bowling Green too, so they had to come back.
Yeah, and I'm with you, Callie and Mike. I really think that Florida, I was kind of disappointed in their play. I was just watching the game, and it just looked like I've said the first show that I don't think this guy Will Muschamp. He's a good coach, but I don't think he's the guy that's going to get them over the hump, get them a national championship. They're going to have to get, a guy like a Tommy Tuberville type of guy, you know, Phil a former type of guy to come in there with some cachet, you know, to get these players right.
this is his second year. You know what I'm saying? It's still early, man. Like
what,
I said, he was gonna be the heir apparent head coach in Texas. So that speaks a lot. So
but
hey,
they got a lot of talent down
there.
They got talent down there, man. They got awesome talent down there.
To be performing
like that against Bowling Green? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I was really disappointed.
I saw no flashes of talent to where I was like, okay. At least, you know, like I said, this dude might be able to coach this team up. I didn't see any of those flashes from Florida, from University of Florida. Not at all.
And I saw a lot of penalties. I know he's a fiery guy, Muschamp. And, you know, sometimes when you're really a fiery guy, it just gets, you keep hearing it over and over and over again. Like one of those, like, disciplinarian guys. You just keep over and over again to the point where the players don't really respond to it anymore. And I think that's, I don't know, I just sense that's what's going on over there at UF. But I may be wrong.
He's supposed to be a defensive specialist, too, right?
Yeah, he's supposed to be a defensive specialist.
He is a tree of Nick Saban. He was on that LSU first national championship team when Saban was there.
Oh, I want to get this call in here. 850.
All right. Biggest disappointment should be obvious out of that first week, and that is the University of Oklahoma. They had that first game against UTEP. Could barely score against them. I think they had, what was it, one punt block that was returned for a touchdown, and I think one field goal block. And it took them, I guess, three and a half, four quarters, in order for them to get away from UTEP. And to me, that doesn't show that they are the best in the conference. Seems like, obviously, West Virginia seems like the class of the conference right now at this moment. So I would say Oklahoma being a top five team, struggling the way that they did, it was a big disappointment for the first week.
All right, thank you. All right, we got
which also leads to one of my predictions that this weekend I want to let it be known, Oklahoma will be losing this weekend to the Rattlers of Florida A&M, and that's all I'm going to say about that.
You can say whatever, however, anything on my wall on that. Say everything that Cali Mike had called it.
All right, man. Next call, 813.
I would say the most overrated team this first week is the same most overrated team for the last 20 years, Notre Dame. They always want to be making Notre Dame out to be some great team. Every time you hear them talk about Notre Dame, it's, oh, the Irish suck. They have sucked, and they still suck. They went and beat Navy in Ireland by 40 points, and you think they just won the national championship. They're always pumping up Notre Dame to let them disappoint everybody. So my most overrated team this week, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
I guess every week when Notre Dame win, I guess they're gonna be overrated every week, huh?
Every week.
All right, thank you. We got another call in here. 407. 407.
Hello.
407. Yeah.
You dug in.
CNC Firestone, can you hear us?
Yeah, I hear you.
You got something to say?
I'm here. Yeah, the you're talking about the most overrated teams or disappointment. I would say the biggest disappointment to me is, I mean, I'm a Miami fan, but, like, I was watching that Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech game. Both of them teams are disappointing to me. The whole ACC is extremely disappointing. I'm just getting fed up with it, you know. It's just garbage. It's supposed to be all these promising players, but they ain't doing nothing. And Florida is another disappointment. Just Florida, period, man. Florida been down in the dumps. Yeah, they got all this talent here, but, man, it seems like Florida can't do nothing. I'm just getting pissed off, man. That's all I'm saying. It's just I'm frustrated, beyond frustrated with Florida schools and the ACC as a whole.
Wait, you don't even think Florida State? You can't put Florida State at least in a top 10 team?
Do I think Florida State is a top 10 team? How can you tell against Murray State? Come on now. I mean, all these teams playing at the beginning of the season. Kudos to Michigan and everybody else that stepped up to the plate.
and play somebody big, but, man, how can you tell who anybody is the first week playing chumps? And what dude talking about Notre Dame beat Navy 56-14 last year, so that's – you're right. They don't need to be praising them either. Mm-hmm. That's a walk-in-the-park game for them. I mean, it's just – we're going to see, man. I'm disappointed in a lot of teams, to be honest with you.
Well, what do you think it is about Central Florida? I've been noticing that too. It seems to me like they don't have any more marquee coaches. I mean, before you had Bowden, Spurrier, Butch Davis. I mean, it doesn't seem like you have the marquee coaches anymore. You think that's what it is?
Well, the thing is, we have let the recruiting get. We don't own the state of Florida anymore. We have let the recruiting branch out. Nick Saban, Urban Meyer, he definitely gonna rate Florida now. That was his whole plan. I mean,
everybody's
using Florida
as a marketing
team. Well, that's true. All right. Thank you. Are you saying, like, he was saying, like I was going to touch on that, yeah, a lot of, you know, some of the top players from that state of Florida, they be like branching out every, you know, other places, man. They're not getting all the top, you know, Florida players staying in the state.
Well, you know what I think it is, Mike, and I can't really get mad at them. Some of these cats want to get away from work, you know, from their hometown. You know, I mean, a lot of these cats, you know, especially some of the Miami dudes, you know, they stayed home and they ended up getting into a lot of trouble. You know, so to me, you know, that would be, you know, a big reason why, you know, you might want to go to a school out of state, you know, or especially if you can go to a program, you know, this just as good as, you know, as your in-state programs.
Yeah, have, you know, your chance playing a competitive school, have a chance. You know, go to a BCS bowl, possibly national championship, and having, you know,
yeah,
great prospects. You know, being
especially, especially if you
Alabama
don't live in the best area.
Yep. Alabama got a player from Miami Northwestern. I didn't even realize that. But hold up. The next question is, who do you think is the number one team in the nation after what you saw on last week? I'm going to start with you, Tex. Who do you think is the number one team in the nation?
I think you probably just off one weekend, you might have to go ahead and put Alabama up there simply because they blasted the top 10 team in, you know, politically. But, I mean, Michigan was number 8. They blew them out, so I guess they ought to be number 1. LSU beat UNT. I mean, that's not going to carry as much weight as what Bama did. So I'm guessing Alabama, after one week, is the best team in the nation, best showing.
Shottown, what do you think?
I guess how they rumbled and tumbled and roll tied them and all that, you know, on Michigan, Alabama, and they being number one, but really I still say after first week, you know, it can't base nothing, but really, hey, obviously everybody's feeling what they did to Michigan, and, you know, like Tex said, Michigan was ranked. I mean, Alabama, you know, right now, you know, looking, you know, parts of power being one, and also you got to say USC. I think it should be a split on that.
Okay. Cali.
Okay, how exactly are we asking this question? Are we asking it from what I've seen, or what do I think?
What do you think is the number one team in the nation?
Well, I think the number one team in the nation is USC, but I saw Alabama be the number 8 team, so You gotta lend some, you know, you gotta put some weight behind that. Although I've never heard of the number one team in the nation falling in the rankings after blowing a team out by 50. I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, it happened before.
I don't think anybody else has
done
that last.
Yeah, I have. And they said it today on the radio. It was Penn State some time ago. They did.
If that was Penn State, then that must have been when we were all in high school, because Penn State ain't been number one in the nation in umpteen years.
I remember,
last time I remember Penn State being number one in the nation, they played Miami when Miami had fatigues on, and Dennis Erickson was the coach down there, I believe. I mean, Penn State number one, I haven't heard that in a while. So
yeah.
I'm saying that must have been.
Well, we got another caller in.
Penn State, they did go undefeated, though, that one year. Remember in 95, though, but I think they was on.
My internet don't go back that far.
We got a caller from overseas, man. We got an overseas caller here. I don't know where you are. This is CMT Firestorm 044924. 044924. CMT Firestorm.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello, CFP
yeah.
Firestorm.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, what's up, man? I'm from Atlanta.
Oh, okay. What's good?
Yeah, what was the question? What's the number one team in the nation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The number one team in the nation is definitely Alabama. And I'm giving a shout-out to my boy Clauzel on y'all show. That's my man from the barbershop.
What's up, man? What's up?
What's up? Look, Alabama's running backs look like Michigan's linebackers. I mean, they're corn-fed, country bred. They're just too good right now.
You think they're gonna run the? You think they're gonna run the table right now?
I doubt it. LSU is looking good, but listen, you heard it here first. Watch out for at the end of the year, the University of Georgia to be in the mix. I'm not saying they're the best team. I'm not saying they're the best team, but their schedule is favorable. They could run the table in the SEC because they got a very easy schedule and they're coming in ranked number 6. Nobody's talking about them, but they could very easily be in a position to be in a national championship game at the end of the season.
They got a pretty good quarterback too, Murray.
I think Murray might be the number 2 quarterback in the country. Tell you the truth, I really like him.
I think he's the best.
You think he's better than Tyler Bray? You think he's better than Tyler?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, like you had to look like. I mean, like I said, Tyler Bray was throwing to 2 NFL wide receivers. You know, which could be a thing you said about Matt Barkley too. I know, but I mean, I don't know. It's just something about Aaron Murray and the way his game is. It's just, you know, he has a very complete game to me. He has an arm and he's very accurate.
Yeah, his game is looks like it's ready for the next level. And the freshman running back, he touched the ball 3 times on Sunday and scored 2 touchdowns. You know,
I liked the University of Georgia at the beginning of this year, but I think that losing Crowell is going to hurt them. You don't think that's going to hurt them?
I thought it would, but they got this guy, number 3. He's a freshman. He looks like he's a beast. So if you look at their schedule, the hardest game they have to play is probably Missouri or, they don't play LSU. They don't play Alabama. So the only team they would have to worry about is when they get, if they get to the SEC championship.
Yeah.
They win that game and they're in the national championship.
Hey, but it was in that a couple of years ago.
Right.
So hey, you know it can happen.
Hey, Bryce, I gotta put you on hold, yo, because I got a bunch of callers calling in, man. I appreciate you calling, yo.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right. I got another caller in. 850.
All right. 850. Number one team in the country. I'm putting in my vote for USC. I still think they're the most impressive offense in the country. Best quarterback and the best 2 receivers in the nation. And I think they're going to be dealing with the running back that they got from Penn State. And they're going to have a mixture of offense that is comparable to the USC teams in the past. Excuse me. You know, when they had Matt Leinart, Reggie Bush, Lindell White, and all of those boys they had up there. But I would put Alabama at 1B. And the reason is because I think A.J. McCarron is probably the sleeper quarterback in the SEC for 1. Although he could just rely on those running backs, Eddie Lacy and the freshman, I'd say they could use him as 1-2 punch, just like, you know, USC had Richard Bush and Lindell White. So I would say 1A and 1B right there.
People forget that A.J. McCarron kind of tore apart LSU's defense in that national title game. It wasn't a thing where Trent Richardson was dominating, except for that run, that touchdown run.
Run. Yeah,
he was terrific against that defense, and they were throwing it at him. He was making decisions. He was delivering the ball. You understand what I'm saying? They came out. They said they were gonna win the game with A.J. McCarron. They did it. People forget, man. He was phenomenal against that LSU defense.
He sure was.
He surprised me too. I thought he was going to be more of a game changer quarterback, but I mean a game manager quarterback. But he's proven to be much more than that. All right.
Yeah, we got to speed it up. I got a few more calls calling in, man. All right. Next caller, 813.
What's up? Wire to wire, I'm staying with the Trojans. Wire to wire. Preseason, I said the Trojans in Oklahoma. I'm staying with the Trojans all year long. They are the number one team in the nation, and until somebody beats them, they're the number one team. And all of the stuff y'all keep talking about Georgia, I'm telling you right now, Georgia going to have two losses in the SEC. They are going to lose to Tennessee, and they're going to lose the SEC championship game to whoever comes from the West, because right now the SEC West is dominating the East. So Georgia's got two losses coming. No matter how you look at it, either Tennessee or South Carolina is going to beat Georgia in the regular season, and they are going to get blasted in the SEC championship. You got a good point. You know, Tennessee and Georgia with the rivalry, that could go either way. And South Carolina, you know, has been competitive with them, so that could be a loss as well.
All right. Thank you.
Yep.
All right,
also,
can I
say something real quick, Carvel?
Yeah, say what you
say. Like I said, a lot of the callers are saying USC was going to be number one because of their offense. I agree with them. The caller from 850, he brought up a point. Their offense, like I said, I didn't want to come out and say it, but their offense to me is looking very comparable, if not better, than those offenses with Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush. And I'll just say this because, you know, I watch all the games and I analyze them. Their offense, USC is a notorious second-half team. I haven't seen their offense come out this aggressive, and this is against any team they've been playing in the first half like this before and look this fluid. They usually, especially when they play a lot of the lower teams, they usually, you know, USC usually starts off really slow, and then they usually end up wearing down teams with their overall talent. But they look really explosive. They have a game-breaker, Marquise Lee. You know, I think he's gonna give Anthony Thomas a push for most explosive player in Pac-12 this year. And like I said, you know, if Matt Barkley keeps throwing the ball like that, I mean, you know, it was, like I said, for somebody who watches their games, they really impressed me. And I usually don't, you know, get impressed by watching them because I know what you're expecting them, but they impressed me with this first game.
Okay.
Every last one of them guys going to the NFL, all 11 of them on USC's front row right now.
Okay, we'll see. But we got one more caller.
you know, Clydesdale feeling about USC. He uttered that little smart mark.
we got one more caller in regards to college football. We're going to get to NFL pretty soon. About college, though, 407, you hear me? CMT.
Yeah, the number – yeah, the number one team is the number one team, which is Alabama. Y'all can do all that talk about USC. But, boy, when you got a stable of running backs like that, like Miami used to have it, you can do all that throwing all day. 56-yard rushing ain't going to cut it against Hawaii. Name the starting running back for USC. Please, somebody. Can y'all name him?
Silas Red.
Nobody knows who Silas Red is. Who gives a damn? Buddy can't run against Hawaii. Now, all I'm
he
doing
wasn't
is Alabama.
On the ball. Did you watch the game?
I don't want to watch USC, man. I'm in the South, man. I'm biased.
You gotta watch the games, man.
I watched them on Fox. Marquise
Lewis. They were scoring almost off of every pass they passed, so they didn't need to run. When they did run, they ran to touchdown when he needed them.
But I'm saying, but what happens when they play somebody that locks them down on defense with all that passing? When you got a full man rush that can get to the quarterback, then what are they going to do? Nothing.
USC got one of the best offensive lines in the country.
What happens when they play Alabama?
United States of Alabama.
And Barkley gets smashed. What happens then? What you going to say
mean,
then?
If any quarterback gets smashed, the offense isn't going to do that good. But, I mean, you're talking about the best
they
quarterback.
They
play
against nobody,
though.
They play against – tell me when they play against Oregon.
Also,
talk about when they play some real talent. Tell me what happened. They
beat
Georgia
last year. They beat them last year.
That was last year. We talk about this year. That was last year.
And they didn't lose anybody. Oregon lost their starting quarterback and their starting running back. USC didn't lose
anybody. Yeah, Hawaii had a brand new coach and a bunch of nobody. So what's the point?
No, let me tell you about Hawaii. I'm being honest. Hawaii puts out strong football teams. They always do.
You
not this.
We're going
to
have to stop just, here. Just real quick, Clausell, real quick. Really, really quick. I think Bama, I think they can beat probably most any team, basically any team in the nation right now. But USC is a different kind of good with the athletes and the players they have right now. Like Mike said, man, they kind of a throwback back to 2004, 2005 when they were running people. That's the kind of, we talking about a professional football offense that they have. And you know, I think Bama can beat mostly anybody, but it's like the exception. When USC is as good as they are and as talented as they are right now, I don't think anybody's beating them. I mean, it was the same with Miami back then. Those are the only two.
I'm not gonna say anything in response to that. You know, hold up. 407. I'm gonna have to put you on hold. Yo, we got to move on, man. We run out of time.
All right.
I didn't really get my chance to say my thing, but I will address what you just said, Jamal, with that little slight comment right there on the 2 minute session. You know, but all I gotta say is my opinion is clearly Alabama. I mean, from a defensive standpoint, I don't think USC would play against Alabama. I don't think from Alabama, on the defensive side of the ball, Matt Barkley wouldn't even get on the field because Alabama would be running the ball so much. So
hey, but,
that's just my opinion.
Hey, because USC runs a pro-style defense.
And Alabama would run over them. I mean, I think the running back Alabama has now, T.J. Yates, is already better than Silas Red, in my personal opinion.
You were talking about Eddie Lacy last week.
I mean, he's not better than Silas Red, but T.J. Yeldon is better than Silas
Red.
But
you were talking about Eddie Lacy last week. You weren't talking about T.J. Yeldon last week. You made like two comments about
T.J. Yes, I was. Review the tape, Mike. Yes, I was.
Yeah, and I remember it. Remember you said Eddie Lacy, and I said, who?
No, I said T.J. Yeldon, and you said who? And I said Reggie Bush Jr. That's what I said. That's why I said you started laughing
either
at
way,
me. But anyway, I gotta stop because we gotta go to the NFL coverage and we're not gonna take a break today, because we went over time with the college football talk. Now let's get into the NFL coverage here, and week one, the first game of the year, happens tomorrow. That's why we decided to do our show today on Tuesday. The first game of the season tomorrow, Dallas Cowboys versus New York Giants. A lot of trash talking has been going on. Jerry Jones, Matthias Kiwanuka, Justin Tuck. You know, they've been going back and forth. So what do you think is going to happen during this game between the Cowboys and the New York Giants? I'm going to start with you, Tex.
Well, the Cowboys, you know, they've improved on defense. They have Brandon Carr. They have Mo Claiborne, who is a rookie, by the way. They still don't have any safeties. I mean, you can expect the Giants to test Mo Claiborne deep. You can expect them to test the safeties deep. On the other side of the ball, Miles Austin, Dez Bryant, they're 100%. They're ready to go. Looks like Jason Witten is a no-go. It's going to hurt a little bit, but I think the deciding factor in the game is Giants' defensive line depth. Especially at the ends. I like Tyron Smith. That's a nice little matchup tomorrow. Tyron Smith and John and Pierre Paul. But I don't trust the Cowboys O-line as a unit versus the Giants defensive line as a unit. So for that purpose alone, I got to go with the Giants. I think the Giants are a better football team. I think they're better coached. And I don't think the Cowboys go up to New York and win that game. I don't think it's in their culture right now. It's not, you know, that's not the kind of team they are. They're not good enough team for that yet.
Yeah, they were. Hey, they were close last year to beat the Giants in New York, the Cowboys. So, you don't believe in Jason Garrett. You think it's going to be Jason Garrett's last year as the Cowboys head coach, Tex?
Look here, that's besides the point. We're not even talking about that. But the Giants are A-plus at coach, quarterback, pass rush. They're going to win tomorrow.
Well, I'm going to chime in because I don't really get a chance to say, I got the Cowboys tomorrow, even though I'm a Giants fan. No, I'm not saying that the Cowboys are better than the Giants. That's not the case at all. But, I mean, you just have to think about it. I mean, the Giants are slow. The Giants are a slow-starting team, first of all. They don't get good until the end of the year. And the Cowboys are amped for this game. This is like the Cowboys Super Bowl, basically. You know, it's like once they win this game, they feel like they're on top of the world, and then they have to realize they have to play the rest of the season. So I don't even, and also I don't predict the Cowboys even make the playoffs. That's another story itself right there. But
I think the Cowboys will win. The Giants?
Oh yeah, the Giants will make the playoffs. I don't think the Cowboys will make the playoffs, and I think they'll win the game tomorrow though. I think they will win the game tomorrow. They're going to really be pumped up for this game. Jason Garrett's going to really have them very attuned to detail. It'll be a close game, but I think the Cowboys will win tomorrow. Shottown, what do you think?
Well, some people say it might be a blowout. It's the first game of the year. His division falls, this and that. I mean, Cowboys do got some injuries, some key injuries with Witten being out. I think they're gonna miss him. Somewhat, but I think the game could be close. But they the champs. It's New York. I think the Giants get them by. This is gonna be a close game, but I think the Giants might get them by maybe a touchdown. And I wouldn't be surprised if it comes down to a field goal.
Callie, what you think?
It's amazing. I actually almost totally agree with Quazelle. I mean, I didn't think it would come out, but except, you know, I mean, I look at it like this. The Giants, they've proven that they can lose games like this and that they might even lose a couple more games and still go on and win a Super Bowl. Dallas, this is almost a must-win game for them. I mean, I think that they have to – I don't think they're going to be that good this season, but I think they have to win this game for this season, you know, to at least not be a total loss. They're going to be hyped up. They're going to be pumped up, and you know, I think they're going to put everything they have into this. I've been looking at the team as much as I get on text about Tony Romo. You know, he is a pretty decent quarterback at times. You know, and I think if they put it all together, you know, they could beat him. I like New York too. I like their running back. I like David Wilson, the rookie. I think he's going to do a lot of big things this year. But, like I said, I just think that the position that the Cowboys are in, they're going to come out fired up, you know, and I think they might catch New York sleeping.
And
I don't like Dallas's interior. I don't like Dallas's offensive line versus the Giants' defensive line. I like Romo. I like Eli Manning better. The Giants added talent this offseason. So did the Cowboys, but the Giants, you know, knowing they were dealing with injuries, they got, you know, they added some guys, they got deeper. I like their talent better versus Dallas's talent. I think the Giants, I don't know. I think we're talking about the past when we're talking about their team that sometimes looks unfocused and they can come out and lose games like this. I think these guys are locked in. You understand? This is a veteran team now that's kind of a little fairly young, but they're a veteran team. They understand. They play hungry. Look at how they play. They play hungry. They go on the road, and they beat everybody, you know, for the second time. And I don't think they're going to give to the Cowboys tomorrow night.
All right. All right,
go ahead.
We got a caller in. What you got to say real quick before we get a new caller in? Hold up.
I was going to say also, Jimmy Johnson believed Tony could be that great and good. And I was going to say also, the Giants started off good going into the 2008 season. But then, you know, the Plexico Burris thing, I think that really messed them up, though. But they was focused. They probably would have made the playoffs. Who knows, another Super Bowl possible.
All right. We got this call in, and a very new caller here, 813-443. CMC Firestone, 813-443. Are you there? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hello, what's going on?
All right. You know, I was. I just want to touch on Clausell's point. I agree with him on the fact that the Giants are going to lose over the Cowboys, but are a better team. Simply for the fact, historically, the Giants are very poor at the beginning of the year. Almost every year, they start out like, oh gosh, they're never going to do anything, and then at the end of the year, they come on strong.
What y'all got to say about that?
True. I mean, when y'all won the Super Bowl in 1986, which benefited with that Charles Martin body slam, but we'll get into another story on that. Y'all started off, I mean, against the Cowboys, LT, you know, was going through his issues, and y'all lost, you know what I'm saying, close one, and y'all just went on the street.
All right. Hold up. I'm about to put you on hold, yo. I got another caller in.
All right.
The next caller is 850-544-850.
All right. I'm going to go on the flip side of what Clausell said. Clausell said he's a Giants fan, but he's picking the Cowboys. I'm a Cowboys fan, but I'm picking the Giants. I think their defensive line is too good for Dallas's offensive line. And I see, you know, Eli Manning stepping up for the Giants over Tony Romo, and the person that said it was a must-win game for the Cowboys, put it on the flip side. It's a must-win game for the Giants. They have the toughest schedule in the league, especially the last 10 games of their schedule. They played Philadelphia twice. They got Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, and San Francisco. And I think Dallas did not play San Francisco this year, so the Giants got to really start off on a good start. If they can't afford to, you know, be on like a 2-3 or a 1-4 start this season.
Giants play Green Bay and New Orleans too.
Yeah, see, so they really have it backloaded in that last 10. So they got to win this game, but I don't see them making the playoffs since they got that last 10 games there. So there you go.
You say you don't
but another thing is to consider is that they got tested this past year. They had the same slate, but they had it in the middle, and they overcame it, and they went on to win the Super Bowl. So this schedule is not while it is a test, it's nothing new for the Giants. Something to consider.
Hey, Carl, so you don't think the Giants gonna make the playoffs?
No, I think the Eagles win the division, and Dallas is gonna be the wild card.
I mean, I agree. The Giants, I say this, the Giants do. Y'all got a, Clausell and Carter, y'all Giants got a heck of a schedule. I saw y'all schedule. I got the toughest schedule right now.
Yep. Compared to New England. New England got a
you
good.
You know, you can make it happen.
All right. I got another caller in. I'm going to put you on hold, yo. Next caller, 813-409.
What's up? For the first time in, a month that we've been doing this, I agree with Clausell. The Giants always warm up halfway through the season and get hot at the end. The Cowboys always start out looking like they're going to the Super Bowl, and then Tony Romo turns into a flat tire. So, playing in Cowboys Stadium, playing knowing it's a division game, and knowing that they've screwed up for 4 years in a row under Tony Romo, they going into tomorrow night's game pumped. Dallas will win the game, but both teams will not make the playoffs. The Eagles will win the division.
All right. All right. Thank you. Next caller is 407.
Yeah. I'm here. My thing is, I'll put it to you like this. I'm going with the Giants. And the reason I say that is, don't you think they know they started off slow all them years? Don't you think they got a game plan? Don't you think Eli still probably got a chip on the shoulder? Like, we can't never start the season all right. So I think they're going in this game focused. Then defensive end is going to take over the game. Tony Romo ain't got his safety blanket. Victor Cruz is going to do his little dances. And the Giants win. That's what my prediction is. Y'all can say what y'all want to say, but I'm going with the Giants. Eli still got a chip on his shoulder if you ask me. He's going to rip them apart.
So you think it's going to be a close game, dog? Or, you know, a lot of people think it's going to be a blowout. Some say it might be a blowout. Could be. So what you think?
I don't think it's going to be no blowout. It's definitely going to be a close game. Both teams got something to lose because it's a division game. I mean, it's going to be a close game. Believe that. One thing Eli exhibited last year was a lot of four-quarter comebacks. So, I mean, Tony Romo can't exhibit four-quarter comebacks to save his life. So I got to roll with Eli Manning. I'm sorry.
But you said the safety blanket. You just had me thinking, though, too. Oh, yeah, he definitely going to miss Witten. But, hey, Romo still has Dez Bryant.
Hey, but what has Dez Bryant done for me lately?
Yeah, it's a game where he can, you know what I'm saying, definitely come up, show up, you know, do his thing because he likes the spotlight.
I know. I mean, he's a talent, man. But what has he really done in the league? I mean, has he really done anything? That's the thing. You have to, for me to give you praise, you have to do something first.
He's been a little banged up, though, you know. But hey,
He's played
2 years. I'm still shaky.
He's played. Dez Bryant has played 2 years. He's gotten better each year. The third year is usually when wide receivers break out. Let's just see how it goes.
Well, Michael Everett broke out in the second year.
Like, also, he's been banged up, too. So, you know, he's been a little nicked up, you know.
All right. Well, let's slightly change the subject here a little bit. I'll have to put you on hold, 407. Let's slightly change subjects here in regards to a lot of people, NFC East, Dallas, New York Giants, Philadelphia Eagles, in regards to, like, you know, a lot of people think the Eagles should be, like, a Super Bowl-caliber team. In the media, the owner came out and said, if Andy Reid doesn't get to the playoffs, his job is done. So, in regards to, and Michael Vick has came out and made some statements, you know, this is for Andy Reid's son. This year's for him, you know, I have to do better. Do you think the Eagles will make the playoffs? And do you think if they do, will they go far in the playoffs? Do you think this is the Eagles' year? Will they win the division? I want to know what your opinion on that is, real quick, before I get to the callers. Let me start with you, Tex.
If Michael Vick is healthy, they have a great shot at making the playoffs. I don't think Lurie was exactly saying that Reed was going to get fired. He just said that 8-8, 9-7 is unacceptable. That's all he pretty much said. He didn't come out and say, yeah, we're going to fire Andy Reid. He just said it's not acceptable. I think
people really take that. That's not a saying. If you go 9-7, you're going to get fired? Oh, my God. You don't think that's a statement of getting fired?
He said it's not acceptable. Come on, man. Andy Reid is the coach of Philadelphia. I think they might. He probably should be more appreciative than Andy Reid. You look at these quarterbacks. You know, they come, they play with Andy Reid, they look good, they go elsewhere, they look like garbage. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, you gonna fire Andy Reid? Nah, you're not gonna fire Andy Reid unless you go 5-11 or 4-12.
This is his last year, but anyway, Callie, what you think?
Philly always looks to me like one of those teams is either gonna be really good or really bad. You know, and, you know, like Tex was saying, you know, Andy Reid, he gets a lot of those guys, you know, no matter what anybody says. You know, he had, who was that? He had A.J. Feely looking good for a little while there, you know, and he made Kevin Cobb a multimillionaire. So, you know, like I say, he's a decent coach. Sometimes you might need a change, though, which, you know, I don't know if they've reached that point yet with Reid, but, you know, like I say, I don't know. They just really look to me like a team
is going to be really good or really bad, kind of like a couple of those Redskin teams used to look, you know, a couple of years ago, you know, when they had all that talent, but they were just really bad, you know, and to me, the Eagles look like that, you know. It's like one thing falls apart, especially if Michael Vick gets injured, you know, it's going to be a wrap for them.
Okay. Real quick, Shotown, real quick, because one caller really wants to chime in on this.
I think the Eagles going to win the division. I think, like, I agree with 107% what Jamal's saying. It's all on Michael Vick. If Michael Vick is healthy, I mean, the Eagles, to me, are a Super Bowl contending team in the NFC as well. And I agree with also what Tex was saying. Yeah, literally saying 8-8, 9-7 is unacceptable because, I mean, it might be a team in the NFC because, you know, it's so competitive that might be 9-7 and not even make the playoffs. So, I mean, you know, I agree with what he's saying on that. Yeah, he wants to win, you know, at least 13-3, 12-4 type of record or something like that, or 10-6. But
yeah.
Andy Reid been the head coach there since 1999. So, dang, he's been the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles since back in high school. And how long, we've been in high school? I mean, me and Callie Mike and Carter, how long we've been in high school? That seemed like ages ago. So the man been there for about going into now 13 years. So it's like, man, sometimes, you know, they gave up on Donovan and made the trade, so why not the coach? I mean, he's been there 13 years, hadn't won a Super Bowl, been to one Super Bowl. So, I mean, sometimes a change is needed, you know. I feel this. If they don't make the playoffs, I wouldn't say Super Bowl. If they don't make the playoffs, then, yeah, I think Andy Reid is out of there.
All right, real quick. Oh, yeah, and Jamal, there was a response to your statement. If Mike Vick can stay healthy, someone said if Mike Vick can stay healthy, it's like if he's winning the lottery. He responded to your statement. But anyway, let me get to the caller here. Let me get to a caller here. 813-443.
Yeah, I'm sitting back here, listening here. Look at the overall division, all the records. Or all the schedules throughout the division. The team that's probably put the most effort into change and going a new way is the Redskins. I think the Redskins are going to finish second in the division, just simply because their weak schedule. Have a week the weakest schedule out of the whole division. The whole division is the upper echelon of mediocre, up and down every single week. You could just flip a coin with that division, if they're going to win or lose. You can just bet that New York's going to win or lose at the beginning of the year and win at the end. Then with the Eagles, you never know. Is somebody holding out on a contract? Is somebody letting up? Is Michael Vick hurt? You have one player on the whole team, and LeSean McCoy, by the way, congratulations, Costello. You drafted him first overall. That was a good pick in fantasy football. But he's the only player on the whole team. It seems like he goes hard every single play and isn't, you know, with a black eye every week. So I don't know. It just I think the Redskins are going to finish second in the division.
I'm trying to think
behind
of
the
defense.
Giants.
Is the Redskins' defense is good? I mean, isn't Brian Arakapo pretty injured right now?
Doesn't matter. They have a weak schedule.
But
doesn't matter.
I mean, what is the point? I guess, all right. It's just, but they're in the NFC, so they have to play every single team twice. And every single team is head over shoulders better than them.
Okay.
I just don't see them.
Well, you can't say head over shoulders. I mean, Tony Romo gives up enough games, so you can assume that he's great. He's a phenomenal quarterback first through third quarter, but the fourth quarter, I'm not going to put any money on him. So he gives away one game. They've been splitting the series over the last 3 years between the Redskins and Cowboys. They're horrible.
Right.
Both teams play horrible, especially against each other.
All right, real quick, what y'all think about that? I want to know what y'all think about that.
You are putting your money on a rookie quarterback, though, caller. You got to hear that.
What's that?
I said you are putting your money on a rookie quarterback, though.
Who cares? Half the league's rookie quarterbacks. Half the league,
yeah.
And the other half of the league is second year. Who are the top tier quarterbacks that have been there for three or more years? Name them.
There's all of them pretty much.
Half of them.
I mean,
I get what Mike is saying. I get what the caller is saying. Hey, the Redskins did beat the Giants, swept the Giants last year, so, and the Giants became the Super Bowl champions.
Redskins
beat
the Giants last year.
Yeah, then they beat them. Y'all, they, I mean,
split,
the Redskins
split.
Beat the, they split. I thought the Red, then the Redskins beat both of y'all both times last year?
No, they split.
So they split it 50-50. Out of their division, they got New Orleans, probably a loss. St. Louis, probably a win. Cincinnati, up and down. Tampa Bay, probably a win. Minnesota, a win. Pittsburgh, probably a loss. Carolina, you could flip a coin on that. Baltimore, probably a loss. Cleveland, flip a coin.
I think that's a win.
I'm just saying.
All right. Well, hold on. We got to I don't know. I don't think that we got to get to the next call here, okay?
All right.
Yeah, yeah. Let me get this next call here. Got a lot of callers here. 850.
All right. First, let's start off with the Redskins here. They did sweep the Giants last season. But I don't see them being second in the conference. Like I said, I had Dallas there. They'll probably finish 9-7, and the Eagles will finish 10-6. I don't see, you know, the Redskins winning the games against New Orleans, Cincinnati, Atlanta, the Giants this year, you know, Pitt and Philadelphia. I mean, sure, the schedule is more spread out compared to, like, the Giants, but you still got to see, like, who's really stepping up as far as, like, the Redskins team. In that aspect, I mean, you really don't have anybody that's a standout on defense, so to speak. So it's like that's like one of the biggest questions this season.
All right. Thanks for calling. We got another caller here. 813-419.
First and foremost, I already told you, Philadelphia is going to the Super Bowl. Philadelphia will represent the NFC in the Super Bowl this year. Now, as far as all this Washington and New York Giants, you ain't even got to worry about nobody else from the NFC East because none of them are going to make the playoffs. Did we forget we have a team called San Francisco? We have a team that is the Detroit Lions. We got Green Bay Packers. We got Atlanta Falcons. And you got the up-and-coming Carolina Panthers. I'm telling you, this division is about to change. The big boys in it right now, the New York Giants, they're about to be down. They won their Super Bowl. They're about to be down. Seattle's growing with Wilson. You've got the San Francisco 49ers jumping up. Chicago's trying to build a team. Detroit's trying to build a team. This year, the Eagles will take the NFC.
And they are a Super Bowl contender. I did say that. And that's a team my Bears got to play this year, too.
We got another caller here, 407.
I got a question.
Okay.
I'm confused because I thought the question was about Philadelphia. We done went off on tangents this whole conversation. Wasn't the question about Carlisle? Can you please repeat the question?
Yeah, do you think the Eagles will make the playoffs? Do you think they'll go far in the playoffs?
So how does the answer about the Redskins and the Giants and everybody else in football have to do with the question about Philadelphia? And somebody
everybody chimed in and said that, well, one person said that the Eagles are not going to do it. Well, the Eagles will win the division, I think. He said the Redskins will be second in the division or something like that. What's your opinion on the issue about the Eagles?
I feel like, you know, the Eagles, I feel they could pull it off, man. They just had a horrible season last year and all that contracts and Buddy not wanting to play. The Eagles going to pull it off, man. It's going to be an emotional year for them boys out there, man. They're going to pull it off to me. I just don't – if they can get that wide nine to stay together, they'll be all right. You know what I mean? If Michael Vick can stay healthy. The little backup, you know, they can – I mean, Andy Reid, like they said, he can make any quarterback look good. He got a system.
You know what I mean? They just got to come together, stay focused, and I think the Eagles can pull it off. Michael Vick can stay healthy. He might have to turn into the old Michael Vick and run a million one times and not get hit. But if he can stay healthy,
he's definitely going to get hurt at this point. If he does that, he's definitely going to get hurt.
Nah, he's going to learn how to run out of bounds. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but still, he better be doing that all the time then. All right.
We got to put you on hold. We got 20 minutes left in the show. We're going to do one more topic. I think it's going to last about 10 minutes. One more topic until we get to our two-minute no interruption sessions. Now, there's two big topics that we can talk about here. Let's talk about the first one. Yahoo just came out with an article on Drew Rosenhaus. It says that he's under investigation from the Players Union in regards to some sort of financial situation. He was, taking players' money or, he was doing making players make bad investments, causing them to lose a lot of money. One player in particular, Terrell Owens, and some other players, I think Brian McKinney had said something too about the issue. What's your opinion on players and agents in regards to finances? I just want to know what's your opinion on this issue, and it's just in general about players and their finances, how they should handle them or whatnot. We'll start with you, Cali Mike.
Quazell, before you.
What'd you say, Mike?
You talking to Chicago Mike,
there?
Right?
Yeah. Are you there?
You talking to Chicago Mike, right?
Yeah, he disconnected. Any of y'all got an opinion on it? Cali Mike?
Okay, yeah. Well, I mean, what I think, it goes more along a socio-cultural thing, but I don't know if I really want to get into all that, but I'm going to say that cash rules everything. You know, you let somebody control your money, they control you. You know, until a lot of these players learn how to control every aspect of themselves, including their, their behavior and their money, they're not going to be in control of themselves. And, who's to blame for this situation? You let this man take control of your money, and then when something goes wrong, you get mad about it. But, once again, you let him take control of your money. I don't know all the ins and outs of the agent world, but I mean, to me, what makes one agent, better than the other agent? They're gonna get the same, 10% or 15% or whatever these guys get. I'm sure there's either one of those two, but it just seems to me like these guys, they hand over such a large portion of their life over to people that don't have any loyalty to them besides money, and then when money becomes an issue, everybody's, wondering what happened. And, to me, it's just, it's, like I said, it's just a sign of the times to me.
All right. Chi-Town, what do you think?
I'm back. Same system. But yeah, I was saying, he recommended his boy being a financial advisor to these players. So it was like, Mike made some points, man. At the end of the day, when it comes to money, man, you got to be smart on who you trust with it and what you invest in. Better make sure, when you're doing investments and stuff, hey, it's a risky business, man. It's cutthroat, it can be, because, you make an investment, it's the positive side, you might come out making more out of it. Negative side, you might lose some of it. Negative other side, being a double negative, you might not gain nothing, put money into it, and get nothing in return. So it's one of those things, man. It's like, if you're going to do that, you better have your A game right, know everything about what you invested in, get information, make sure you trust this person and this and that, instead of, doing what you had to do. But this is a messed up situation, but it's just, man, because these players lost money. But got to be smart.
All right. Tex, you got any opinion on this?
I 100% agree. I mean, Cali Mike basically told you what I was going to tell you. and Rosenhaus, there's a reason why all these guys are firing Rosenhaus, supposed mega agent. I respect his hustle coming up in Miami, but
you know, now is the guy, you know, he's like Voldemort Snake or Harry Potter or something. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean.
They said this years ago. I know it was like way years ago back in time. Remember that thing they had on HBO about Drew Rosenhaus? They were saying, you know, about, you know, how the, you know, the athletes he was getting, you know, a lot of, you know, being, you know, black athletes. He said the only money he cared about is green. Remember that thing that hit Sports Illustrated about, you know, Drew Rosenhaus? That's the only thing he cared about, where there's been some, you know, players and stuff like that about him and stuff. As a matter of fact, one of my, you know, saying homeboys from FAMU, you know, Clifford Wimble, his brother, Drew Rosenhaus, I mean, his brother made it to the NFL, and Drew Rosenhaus kind of, you know, really kind of didn't look out for him, you know, kind of did him dirty, and he kind of had some animosity toward that man. He said Drew really all about the big-time athlete. So, I mean, probably next week or something or two, we'll have him on the show, he kind of break it down about that. He was just saying he just cared about the big-time athletes, and after that, I guess, after, you know, with the T.O. situation and Chad Johnson, when they all washed up, then, hey, he's going to the other ones.
All right, we got some callers in about this. Hold up, we're going to get to the first caller, 813-443. You're there for 813-443.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm putting more responsibility off on the players. We can take a show of hands. How many people have heard of don't put all your eggs in one basket?
Million times.
Everybody's heard of that. You don't have a guy that's your agent, which is his lawyer, that's negotiating his contracts of how much his income is, and then now you're going to let him be your CPA and financial advisor saying, well, this is how much you spend, and this is now what you're going to invest your money into? I'm putting it off on them. He has a duty to make sure that he discloses everything, so the investigation is going to be based on what did he disclose, was he transparent as he was supposed to be, did he give them the best advice that he knew to give them. So it's going to be hard to really point out any unethical behavior there because they allowed him to essentially control all the pieces on the table.
Any opinions on that?
I totally agree with the caller. I mean, it's sad, you know. It's to the point where it's like, you know, like I said, you leave a guy like that in control of your life, and, you know, he's obligated to, you know, to disclose certain stuff to you. But this, you know, this all, you know, like Michael said, he only cares about the big athletes. Yeah, because the big athletes bring in the money. This is about money, you know. And you know, like I said, all the, you know, whatever everybody talks about passion and having a passion for the game, this and that, that's all nice and fine. But this is about money. That's a job. It's not, you know, they're not playing for fun. You know, and you know, like I said, I don't even like relying on Bank of America to do my finances personally. But, you know, so I'm definitely not going to let somebody else who doesn't have an interest in my life deal with something that directly affects my life. And, you know, it seems like that's, it's not, you know, of course everybody's going to jump on Drew Rosenhaus because he's, you know, he's the hot topic right now. But it's not just him. It's a lot of these agents, you know, and it's sad, you know. I mean, look how many of these athletes are just going broke, you know. Mike Tyson, you know, everybody was surprised when he lost $200 million. And, you know, it's happened throughout, you know, throughout all the sports. And these cats, you know, and they go broke, then nobody wants nothing to do with them. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, you know.
Not just the athletes, entertainers.
T.O. fired Drew Rosenhaus. Probably wouldn't even answer T.O.'s calls right now. You know? Why wouldn't
T.O.'s calls? Yep.
All right.
He's not making no more money. And also, T.O. dropped him as an agent.
All right, I gotta go to the next caller, yo. Okay. The next caller, 813-409.
All right, guys, it's this simple. You guys are acting like athletes have been controlled all their lives. The first thing you have to understand is
90% of these are not considered scholar athletes. Let's stop pretending, guys. We know who these people are. Other people are taking their tests for them in high school. Other people are doing their homework for them in college. These are not the smartest people coming out of the universities. Half of them leave and go to the pros before they even get their degrees. They have been trusting other people all their lives. They go from trusting their mamas to trusting their coaches, go from trusting their coaches to trusting their agents. And they don't know nothing about business. They don't know nothing about the financial world. So when that agent comes to them and tells them, I can take care of your money for them, that agent is the one that got them that contract. That agent is the one that's been getting them the raises. So they believe him and they trust him. And Rosenhaus or whatever his Rosenthal, whatever his name is, he is greedy. And he went after the money. He started scamming these guys who aren't paying attention. And even if they were paying attention, don't know how to do finances. And he would tell them whatever he wanted them to hear, and they would just go along with it. Why? Because they can't do it for themselves. That's the truth.
Well, do you think the NFL should do something about that? Maybe have some basic financial literacy classes? I mean, I understand
no.
one thing. Oh, the NFL.
You are a grown man. You are a grown man. It is up to you to make sure that you put people in the right places. It's like being the president. You got to put the right people in the right places in your cabinet, in your life, to control your life. If you don't do that, whatever happens to you is your fault.
They do have a rookie symposium about that, though. They just implemented about, you know,
I agree with the caller. It's, you know, it's about being a man. You know, you got be in charge of your own life. And, you know, like I said, it goes to more, you know, like I said, it goes to me to more than just agents. You know, it's starting to become a lot of part of this culture of these athletes, you know, and manhood. And it's getting really sad. But, you know, you're letting basically somebody else run your household for you. You can't even run your household. You know, how do you expect to survive?
Exactly.
All right. Well, okay, we got to stop here. We got to take. That had to be the last call.
All right. Good night, fellas.
You too.
Good night.
We got to do the 2 minute session where everybody gets the opportunity to speak for 2 minutes without being interrupted. Do you want to start? Let me start with you, Shytown.
Well, I guess it'll be a topic we'll discuss next week about the refs. But I just hope, you know, being the first game tomorrow, the replacement refs, I hope they call it right, don't mess up. You know, they were saying, you know, there's been players, of course, not too favorable about this. And this one game, you know, especially both teams, NFC, being so tight, this one game might could be the deciding factor of who gets in the playoffs, you know, we see tomorrow. So I just hope it's fair. You know, no controversy calls. We'll be hearing about it all. You know, day on Thursday, this and that. So I just hope it's fair and see a good game. And hopefully who wins and, you know, that's all. Just welcome back NFL Wednesday.
All right, Tex, you go.
All right, regardless of what happened in this first week of the college football season, I still think the SEC is by far the best conference in the land. Bama is sitting as the number one team right now, but I truly think the USC is the best team in America. As far as LSU-Alabama is concerned, still think LSU is a better team. They got four running backs that can run the ball. They have most of the defense from last year back intact. I understand the mindset people have with the Crimson Tide, but you lost too much, and although you have a lot right now, you still don't have as much as LSU has, still. As far as the NFL is concerned, got some good games coming up, Carolina, Tampa Bay. I think I'm going to go with Carolina in that one. Got 49ers, Green Bay. I think Green Bay wins that game. I think RG3 has a pretty good game against New Orleans, but I don't think he wins, and I think Andrew Luck goes to Chicago, and the Colts beat the Bears.
All right, Cali, you'll go.
That was a really interesting text. I don't know about that. But like I said, I look at, you know, these top teams in college football, and, you know, I've talked over with text in person, you know, in person, but I just don't see LSU as having what these other teams have, which is a game changer. I think that losing Tyrann Mathieu is really going to hurt them more than they want to admit and more than people realize, because they don't have anybody that can break open a game like, you know, T.J. Yeldon or Marquise Lee for USC or De'Anthony Thomas for Oregon. You know, I don't see that out of them. I didn't see it, you know, in this last game. Maybe they might have it. Maybe, you know, maybe I haven't seen it. But, you know, usually, like I said, talent like that shines out early. You know, and I just haven't seen that out of them. I don't see that big of an upgrade from out of a quarterback position out of Zach Mettenberger. Yes, he could be a better thrower, which I'm almost certain that he is, than Jefferson and Lee from last year. But that doesn't mean he might be the best quarterback for that team. You know, that especially if that offense wasn't suited, you know, to be a throwing offense, which last year it clearly wasn't, unless Miles isn't known as being an offensive genius. In the NFL, like I said, I'm really excited. There's been a lot of injuries, though, that I think that are going to affect a lot of teams. Especially, you know, teams like New Orleans, and Tampa Bay, they were really expecting, you know, guys to, you know, be on the field. Well, a lot of, injuries and suspensions. They, you know, expecting guys to be on the field. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens week one, though. Like I said, I'm really excited about both of my teams. I can't wait to see them get on the field and, you know, get out there and play. It's just, you know, it's so exciting that the season is actually here. And, you know, it's energizing to be able to watch the games.
Well, first of all, Alabama's clearly the best team in the country. And I saw an interesting statistic that showed that, you know, Alabama has had the most number one rankings in the shortest period of time, I think between 2008 or 2007, and now they beat Miami from 1986 to 1992 in terms of the most number one rankings. And, you know, it just shows that they're the Miami of the 80s. That's basically what it boils down to. Now, in regards to them and USC, you know, I mean, USC is a great team. They're a top five team. I just think if they faced Alabama today, Alabama would win. And because, I mean, when you run the ball like that, they're just going to keep Matt Barkley off the field. He won't be able to do anything because he won't have the time to even do anything. Those pass rushers will be in his face so quick it won't even be nothing. And then from a defensive talent standpoint, USC cannot rotate people in and out like Alabama can. I mean, they have 11 first-rounders on the first team. They probably have 11 first-rounders on the second team in Alabama. So, defense, that is. So, I mean, I just don't see them two even facing each other. But I don't think Alabama's going to even make it to the national championship anyway. I'm speaking as an analyst, because they have to go to Arkansas, they have to go to Tennessee, and they have to go to LSU. So I think they're going to lose one out of those three games, maybe two out of those three games, because that's just a tough road to go through. But if they do, it's clear that they're going to win the national championship. They can go through that schedule right there and win the national championship. I think the win on Saturday was just more a showing that the Big Ten, it just shows that Alabama was just a superior team than Michigan. I think the Big Ten is a very good conference. I think they have a lot of good teams. Ohio State, it looks like they're back. I think Michigan will still have a very good year. I think I think Nebraska will have a very good year. So I think, you know, it'll be an interesting college football season. I was very impressed with Oregon. I was very impressed with Florida State. I expect big things. I think there's five teams right now that could claim the number one spot in the country right now. But right now, I think it's Alabama. And that's all I have to say right now.
I say this, everybody keep bringing about LSU. They don't have the quarterback to me yet. The quarterback has to show me something before I put them up there saying to beat Alabama or something.
All right. Well, thank everybody for calling. Make sure you listen to the video on Blog Talk Radio. We will be here next Wednesday, 8:30, 10 o'clock, for Major College and Pro Football analysis, raw, uncutted, and unedited. Thank you for calling. CMT Firestorm, Clausell, Cali Mike, Shottown Mike, Big Tex. Y'all have a good afternoon. Peace out.
Bye, y'all.
All right, have a good one.